8:45 on the clock. We'll call to order the Board of Supervisors meeting for Wednesday, August 2nd, 2017. We'll start by reciting the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Open Meetings Act is posted on the east wall. Attendance by observation: Jurgens, Hill, Bauman, Dorn, Lytle, Byers, and Tiemann. The consent agenda: one is a general agenda, two is approved minutes of the meeting held July 19, 2017. Approve all claims through August 2, 2017, in the amount of $576,496.61. Accept claim number 17080121 to Johnny's Welding in the amount of $329.36 to be voted on separately below. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve utility permit number 1071 for North Public Power District. Will be boring 2-inch 7.2 kV electric line encased in 2-inch core flex 5 feet below bottom of ditch and under township road to provide service to Tyler Hahn, located in Southeast 4th of Section 26 and Northeast 4th of Section 35, Township 6 North, Range 7 East, Nemohawk Township. Entertain a motion to approve consent agenda.
So moved.
Second.
A motion by Tiemann, seconded by Hill. Vote. Matt. 7-0 in favor. Regular agenda. Entertain a motion to approve or disapprove claim number 17080121 to Johnny's Welding in the amount of $329.26. Total amount of claims approved is $576,825.97.
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion by Byers, second and by Tiemann. Vote. 6 in favor with Jurgens abstaining. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. And I think most everybody is later on the agenda. When we do have a timed event at 9 o'clock. So, buildings and grounds, winter light, committee reports.
I'll call Dave up. We've been working on phones and more phones. And
yes. Good morning. Yes, during our last committee report, we talked. Windstream came down and gave a proposal for a new phone system. Diode will come to our next committee meeting August the 14th and give a proposal also. I'm getting bids to replace the DVR and cameras for the courthouse at this time. I talked a little bit about the security station upstairs. It's so noisy in the hallway with all the echoing. We're going to check into getting some acoustical panels hung up on the ceiling there. And since they have their station there, I'd like to put a little piece of carpet down in that little area there. I talked to the city about, we have a pin oak tree over in the Rock parking lot, and they agreed that they would take care of, we've got some large dead branches up there, so they're going to get those out of there. And I also would like to have a tree removed in the courthouse yard. It's a hackberry that's kind of on its way out. It hasn't been doing well. And we have a oak tree planted close to it, so I'd like to remove that tree so that oak tree can start taking over there. The last thing would be Purple Wave. We do have two vehicles on the Purple Wave auction. We have a 2003 Ford Windstar van and a 97 Crown Vic that will end, I think it's August the 14th. So that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Dave.
Hey, Dave. And equalization, I think we've discussed that there already. Finance, insurance.
Absent.
You always read some numbers, or you don't have one?
My cheat sheet, Don?
Cheat sheet's on my desk. Sorry.
There you go.
All right. Is that the only big one? I Nebraska Health and Human Resources Patient Care. Oh, that's only 1,000. Sorry about that one.
Only 1,000. Not big enough. He's not going to talk about it.
No. Okay. Gage County Inheritance Fund reimbursement, number 2 of 4 patrol car video systems. Gus, $23,998. Keating, O'Gara, Nedved, and Peter. Professional Legal Services, $13,169. Region 5 Systems, $26,724. Beatrice Concrete, Sand and Gravel, $46,112. Rock-On Township Gravel, $19,522. Sapp Brothers Field and Supplies, $14,409. That's the biggies. And maybe Don or Denny, I wasn't here, but you had an insurance meeting. How did that go? Or
they're going to be here later on to present
today.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We did have an increase on our insurance rates.
Okay.
And just talk a little bit about it. I think everybody should have got a flyer. Is it August 11th when they're having the employee insurance meeting?
Right. We'll meet with the employees in the morning. We'll have 2 meetings, 10:30 and 12:30, like we've done before, and then we'll provide lunches to them. That's
Riskies mm-hmm. again, so that everybody from the board sure welcome to attend that too to
and they'll give an update on.
But that's something that we've had the last few years, and it's sure seemed to help, especially for the employees if they have questions or concerns or whatever. They
really good to keep everybody informed.
Informed, and then Amber,
if there are any questions,
and everybody's there to answer questions. Which, yeah.
And there were no major policy changes.
But they'll be here later for discussion.
Yes, they'll be here for presentation. Okay.
But August 11th, and for those employee meetings for insurance. Human Resources Employee Relations. Law Enforcement Emergency Management.
On the emergency management side, we're receiving applications for the emergency manager position. Still continuing to discuss the looks of that position as we move forward. Other than that, there's not a whole lot to report. I do know Gus has given us a report as far as his activity at the fairgrounds over the last week. Looks like he was eating funnel cakes and hot dogs all week is what it looks like to me, but I guess that's just my observation. Gus does have a guest here today that I think we'd like to go ahead and have speak now. Mm-hmm. So, Pam, if you would like to...
On Monday committee meetings, Pam came forward and talked about our staffing issues at the jail. And I don't remember who all was here. I know everybody wasn't here, and I asked Pam to come back and we could have the same discussion when all seven of us were here. Because this will have an impact on the budget, hiring an additional 2 or 3 people or however we go about that, or Gus decides to go about that. So we asked her to come back, and that way everybody could hear her presentation. So thank you. Go ahead.
I'll start the same way that I did last time, especially for Matt, who probably remembers as being in the union. I am not in the union now, so I'm not talking for the union. Okay? it's not only the need more officers. It's also we're having huge problems with places to take people. We were taking them to Washington, and they were taking most of ours, Kansas. They now take from the Department of Corrections in Kansas. So they take most of our females, but they're not taking any males hardly at all anymore. So we now have people in 7 different counties. So when people have court at 9 o'clock in the morning, we could have somebody in as far as David City who's got a 9 o'clock court date, or we could have someone as far down in Washington, Kansas. We have them over to Johnson County. They're all over. And so each day, the transport officer and I are spending, you know, a lot of time on the phone trying to find places to take these people, trying to figure out when their court dates are. We've even gotten to the point where we're trying to put the same people in the same county that might have a court date on the same day. It's really really hard to do, and I don't know what else we can do. We just keep going further out and further out and further out, and now we're an hour and a half one way out. We only have one transport van. We only have one transport officer. It's a huge issue and taking up a lot of time. We have 54 inmates in last weekend, as of last weekend, and even though I was telling these guys, even though they are, half of them are in a different county, it's almost more work when they're in a different county than it is when they're here. We still have to do the paperwork. We still have to get them to court. We still have to do their medical. We have to, you know, so even though we might only have 26 inmates in Beatrice, it doesn't mean that you're only doing 26 inmates. You're still taking care of 54 inmates. And we have not one person for relief on nights, as in the part-time people that we're using right now, to cover night shift. They're getting a part-time person that will come in at the spur of the moment or whatever to cover a night shift is impossible. We've tried and tried. We can get day shift coverage somewhat, but night shift is really hard. So we have no relief for these people. If one person takes off, then that just means the person from the other shift is taking over. So they're not getting their day off. Or even if you take a day off, you're going to end up working for somebody else on your night. So it's really hard. It's getting to the point where there's a lot of people with a lot of years in that are looking elsewhere because they're tired of working all the time, and they are working all the time. Everybody's working a lot of overtime. We had people in the hospital the last two weekends, and then a couple months ago, we did get a company out of Lincoln that was helping us somewhat, but they too can't always fill every shift, and so that means that, you know, our people have to go up there and pull in yet another shift. It's hard for everyone, and it's like most time in Lincoln, so that makes the extra 2 hours of the trip and what have you. So if we had three people on each shift, that would leave the two down here. We had, when I started in 2004, we had two people working the floor. And now here we are in 2017 with two people working the floor, and instead of having 12 or maybe 15 inmates, we have 26 plus 54 if you count the ones out of town that we are still handling and doing, you know, working with. So, you know, we're way behind. I would like to see at least three people on the floor for each shift. That way, if someone's gone or someone's on vacation, you have that third person. If we have people in the hospital, like we've had a lot, one in there right now that possibly maybe going to the hospital, then you're covered. You don't have to pull somebody from their night off or whatever to cover that. And there's something else I should go back and say, that when people are out of county, they hate going, not all of them, but a lot of them hate going. And how we pick it is who's got the furthest court date out. We look at the court dates, and that's how we send them. But I took one on Friday, not last Friday, but probably a month or two ago. I took him to Richardson County on Friday.
I know what she's going to say. I wonder if we shouldn't not say that in.
Yeah, you know, that wasn't. Yeah.
I don't know which one they're talking.
Maybe we should go into closed session for a second and discuss.
Or I can skip it. You guys know. You can tell them.
Why don't you just skip it?
Yeah. You guys already know what I was going to say then. And So, for reasons, they don't want to be out, for, you know, and they all have family and what have you, and it's really hard for them to go see them when they're an hour and a half away. I'm just asking for more help, and if any of you guys have any ideas of what we can do for our overcrowding issue, you know, Last night when I left work, we have two places that we can kind of put people that are having issues, you know, or intoxicated or whatever. And when I left last night, I kind of figured I'd get a phone call because those two places were full. And I didn't take but to about 10 o'clock, and we had not just one, but two people come in that needed to be by themselves. And it's jiggle, jiggle, jiggle. And it's not always the safest thing to do. You know, sometimes you have to put people with sometimes other people that it's probably not the best thing, but you got to do it because that's all the room we got. And I know you guys know that we are out of room, but I just wanted to come and talk to you and tell you that it's really, really stressful over there right now.
Part of why she came. Oh, go ahead.
I think Tecumseh has shown us lately when you put prisoners in together that don't get along or have problems, you can have some really disastrous results.
Well, this is a small community, and everybody knows everybody and not necessarily likes them. And, you know, and then awesome that we've been getting all these drug busts. I mean, those guys are doing an awesome job at that. But that also means that, you know, you have people that shouldn't be with other people because of some of those. And that's a huge issue, too.
Eric?
I wasn't here Monday. And I do have some questions I was writing down as you were talking. What's a lot of overtime? This is something we've talked about that with the jail being understaffed, that's one of those positions where you need time off. I mean, you need
it,
to get
it is.
Away. What are people working? Are we talking 20 hours a week? What kind of overtime?
Well, I put in 20 hours a week last week overtime, but they work 12-hour shifts. And I would say that they're probably, and then I told these guys the other day, you got to remember that the way they work the shifts, they only get every other weekend off. And so they're working at least one of their weekends. You know,
their normal week would be 5 days on at 12 hours.
No, it's like you'd work Monday, Tuesday, 12 hours, and then you'd have Wednesday, Thursday off, and then you work Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Rotates like that. So every week you're having the opposite days off.
And because we've had only two people available, when one's gone, we're having to call somebody from another shift in, so then
right.
They don't get that time off.
Yeah.
Is it primarily in the evenings?
Yes.
And you're saying we need to have at least two. You'd like to see a third person added?
Transport, to help with transports. I think that was Gus's idea, was the third person would help during the days for transports.
Two people, but add a person on the floor each shift.
At night shift. There's two shifts at night.
I'm sorry, two. Add a person on the floor on each of the night shifts, and then
yes.
One extra person for transports. Are the people that are supposed to be showing up, I mean, do we have everyone showing up that's supposed to show up? We don't have...
Yes, yeah. No one's going over what they should have, vacation or sick leave or nothing. We don't have anybody that's like that.
So everybody's
and most,
within what they're supposed
yes,
to be doing.
Yes.
Can we pay? I mean, I know people put a shift differential on evenings, and sometimes it's almost inconsequential. They'll add a quarter or something
uh-huh.
to a night.
We've rate. Done that before.
But can we increase that a fair amount to help with trying to get people in the evenings? Trying to get people to work nights is not easy in the first place.
I'll tell you that I was totally against that because day shift does so much more stuff. But I don't know that it's not a bad idea at all because I do know a lot of places do that.
We're talking about differential in pay?
Yeah,
for
night
shift.
No,
versus
day. I was doing that and the attorney said no. Nobody else is doing that, so she said don't
oh,
do it
for
anymore.
Corrections?
Yeah.
Oh.
I was given a quarter an hour more. And they said, don't do it. Nobody else does that. So,
if we have a hard time getting people in,
is that actually right that nobody else is doing it? I mean, you know.
Well, and if no one's doing it, do we really care? I mean, if we're having a problem getting people in, I mean, nights are tough. Nights in jail are really tough. That might be something to think about.
I think almost all 24-hour facilities have a shift differential.
Mm-hmm.
In the healthcare field, anyway.
Yep. But I think it's going to take more. And, of course, that was just off what the labor attorney tells us. But if you do it, obviously a quarter wasn't cutting it because you still had the same difficulties.
Yeah. I think you'd have to make it
worthwhile.
Put some meat behind it if you're going to try to encourage people to work nights, and that is tough. I mean, people are used to working days. That's just a I don't know how that affects everything with our union. And
yeah, that's something we may have to look into, and then we may have to that might have to be negotiated and all that. I don't know that either. Yeah, that stuff. So
it does make sense. I mean, most everybody wants to work days, and so
the only other thing you asked, what could we potentially do? And just listening to you, is there any way that we could get a contract with a flat rate with one of these oversized jails in our area? You know, Celine, I don't know what they're doing. One of these jails that has more room than they know what to do with.
We actually have a corrections officer that works part-time for us that works in Celine, and they do have room some of the time, but they, too, I think they have the room. They don't have the people. I think they pretty much just have enough people to cover around 100 or so. Is that about right?
Well, and the state's been using them a lot,
yes,
too.
See, we have a contract with Celine County. Trouble is, they're just like jail standards tells me, a lot of jails that have the capability are picking and choosing cream of the crop. And so we get a lot turned down. The last ones were turned down was for, I think, body piercing and bad teeth, and I said, we're done. You know, we'll use them in an emergency situation. We're done. I'm not going to play that game. We have got to have a place for them to go. So we'll use a little bit, but the contract really didn't benefit us a lot.
Is there any way that we can get a good contract in place with someone close by so that we can take everyone there?
Well, I think that's something we need to look at. And you know, all the extra oversizing in a lot of these jails has kind of disappeared, and it's making it tough now. It probably means our rates are going to go up, unfortunately, for what we have to. But you would think with these jails out there that we could find somewhere that would guarantee to, you know, take 10 of ours.
Everybody's going to cut a fat hog on these big jails, and now they sit empty because no one can afford to staff them.
Exactly.
So,
right.
I mean, it might be time where, you know, it might be time where we finally eat some of our pride as different counties and say, hey, we can't support these big jails. They cost too much money. Can we not regionalize, but maybe work out a contract where they do take our people? They do know they're going to have additional staff because we're running 30-plus prisoners all the time now. Instead of running an hour and a half away, to pay a little bit more to go a half hour away makes a big difference, and it'd
absolutely
a lot easier for you to schedule.
Well, the problem coming, and it sounds good to say it, Eric, but the problem you're going to have is they take and the liability falls on that sheriff. And that sheriff told me, exchanged a few words, he said, I'll own that grand jury if it happens in my jail. I said, you're absolutely right. Welcome to my world. I've had a few already, you know. But they're not going to chance that. I would imagine if I sit in his shoes, I'm not going to take somebody that could be an issue and hang himself, then it's my problem. You know, so that's it. The contracts are okay, but they still word them that if there's issues there, they won't accept them. So it's a vicious circle.
I just think of all these jails sitting empty, though. I mean, that when we see jails around our area that are sitting empty because of staffing and not taking prisoners, I mean, there's absolutely zero chance of building anything here.
Yeah.
When these other jails won't accept the people. I mean, any idea of a jail here is out the window. So that comes back to who can we make a good agreement with? And there's going to have to be some give and take there. And
really, Celine's the only close one.
That's the only one.
That's it.
Seward.
You know,
there's got to be. Well, yeah, now in Seward, they've got their own financial issues up there.
They can't get staff either.
They've had a heck of a time. Maybe that's it.
A lot more. He's trying to compete with Lancaster, and still have difficulty getting some people.
Maybe that's something we need to do, though, is really sit down and try to hammer something out with Celine. There's risks. I don't care whose prisoner they are. There's risks. If we could work out a good deal there, I mean, not just work out a deal, not just a contract, if we could work out a good deal that's beneficial for us and it helps benefit them, that might mean they take on some more staff. But
yeah, I don't know if there's something.
I think we at least try to work out a deal, and maybe not necessarily just Celine, but the ones that are reasonably close to us, Washington, Seward, wherever.
Yeah, I don't know if you could, like, work something out where even if we have five prisoners, you know, we're asking to keep 10 there, and we had to pay for 10, you know, or pay half, or you know what I'm saying?
It'd still be a lot cheaper than
trying to.
We do have a timed event. We'll continue this either later or we'll continue at the next meeting.
Okay.
Thank you for coming back.
Thank you for coming back.
No, I know Phil and here, other than it's on the agenda, a timed event at 9 o'clock. It's already 10 after 9. So we apologize to Phil and Arnold and everything. So, Phil, if you want to come forward.
Sure. Well, this month we have a special guest again, and this time it'll be Arnold Juergens. Arnold's joined the United States Army in April of 1955 and served until January of 1975 or December 31st of 74. And retired from the Army at that time. Some of the medals, which this is an inclusive list, I'm sure, because when you serve 20 years in the military, a lot of things don't get put on your discharge, but some of them that we have down is the National Defense Service Medal with the One Oak Leaf Cluster, Good Conduct Medal times four or five, I think it's probably five, Vietnam Service Medal, Vietnam Campaign Medal, Army Commendation Medal, Air Crewman's Badge, the Bronze Star Medal, and the Combat Infantry Badge. Something that we like to mention, too, is Arnold and his wife Doris were married before he went into the service, and a lot of times the spouse ends up spending a lot of time serving more than what we give them credit for. They stay at home and have to take care of the kids when the spouse is deployed, and so we want to thank her also. But at this time, I'll introduce Arnold Juergens.
You want to hear. I've had some good times and I've had some bad times over a period of that. I've been 3 times to Vietnam, 2 times to Thailand, 1 time to Korea, Okinawa, and Germany. And the wife has followed me all those years, every place I've been. And I appreciate the attention that I've received right now, and I thank all of you for having me here today.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Arnold.
Mr. Juergens, on behalf of the county, we'd like to give you these small tokens of our appreciation.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
Yes.
Thank you.
Oh, they're going to close. Put parking stone on one side.
Gus, I hated to cut you off, but is there any more thing you want to talk about? I know, and part of the reason we had Pam come back was so that Gus's budget, there will be some additional funding request for additional staffing over there at the jail and stuff. So that's why we're bringing that up and everything. I know Gus met with us a month or two ago about that possibility. But in that budget, in the proposed budget, I should say the proposed budget, not or the budget request, however you want to talk about it, there will be some additional staffing request in that budget. So that's why we had him come back, so that all 7 of us could hear some of those comments.
We could probably balance some of those increased requests, though, with some of the cuts he's made already.
So I mean, well, there were some cuts, but unfortunately, the other side goes up. But well, you can, you know, we could sit here and debate the jail issues all day long, being a dead horse. We all know what the problem is, and it's just deciding how we're going to solve that. And it's not going to go away, obviously. And as you can hear Pam talk about, there's a great deal of frustration building, and I have some of my senior people start wanting to look elsewhere because I had to put an on-call policy in place because nobody's answering the phone and scared to answer it because they have to come in and work. And that's just not a way you want to conduct business. That's not the way you should do things. But there is an issue there. And I guess we'll just keep doing what we can. And if I run that short of help, then I guess you just do what you have to do, you know. And but it's not getting any better at all. And I can't blame anybody, but it's just the way society is now. We're getting a lot of, I've dedicated a lot of time and resources into one deputy doing a lot of drug stuff, and it's making a big difference on the county side. He works with one from the city, and they're making a difference, but there's just a lot of it out there. Very common anymore. During the county fair, years past, you never see anything. Now, once a year, you at least have a little something there. It's just about like alcohol. It's just being so accepted.
One thing that we haven't hit on is the mental health issues.
Absolutely.
Jail systems now have to deal with that we didn't have to deal with 20 years ago. Oh. And that's a great deal of the liability issues.
Big problem.
That's we what had, a lot of the jails don't want.
But we had three last week that we had to deal with because of that. And I didn't have enough staff. I was on one guy for a while, and it didn't cost me $45 an hour to bring a police officer group in that's off duty to $45 an hour to sit with them. And every time you move them out of the room, they have to have two on for security for different types of testing. So this last month was a killer for us on hospital stays, all because of overdoses. So.
Well, and I think that's a problem we've talked about for years. You know, we know that the jail wasn't passed. That would have been great to have that, but it wasn't passed. Yeah. And when I came on the board, I think if we had 20 people in house over here, that was a lot back then. And over the years, we've talked about it a lot at meetings about how our population has steadily increased. And, you know, last week we were to the point where we had 54 people. We can hold 26, 28, whatever you want to talk about or whatever. But so we're basically at twice the amount that we can hold.
We're fast approaching that 60 number.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're, and I mean, and I think as we've talked about it through the years, the thought was hopefully that maybe is leveling off or we won't be increasing. But unfortunately, it's gone the other way. It just keeps ratcheting up, which.
Well, unfortunately, the way the system's set up, an agency brings someone in. Like what happened to one of us, came in, looked fine, then she's bouncing off the wall as he didn't go through, and then come to find out she'd taken just before she got arrested. And, of course, then that's not that agency's problem, that's this agency's problem, and we have all the expense on it. That's a frustrating part on this. And when I bring up about maybe charging for some of this stuff, it didn't go well with some key people in different agencies, so... It's just something that's out there. I guess I can keep preaching all day long, but we just know we're going to have to do something. So
that's a killer, though, if you have people that are always in on their off time. That's not going to work.
It is not. Okay. And it's,
they get burnt out.
They're burnt out. They're burnt out now.
This executive summary of the fair, there's some good stuff in there. These what went on out at the fair, there's some found property I saw. I assume this is all as things are going on out at the
during
fair.
The fair week, yeah.
You know, I always say that our law enforcement is to protect and serve, and here we have a missing child found. I mean, how scary is that for folks? It's good to have the Sheriff's Department there helping as that stuff goes on. A couple exposures, I assume those are probably someone by
you're
a trailer. But,
yeah. Well, it is. You know, you didn't used to have problems like that either. At the fair, that just shows, and the amount of resources I have, some nights I had 10 people out there just because of the crowd, of the grandstand crowd that comes out, and both parking lots across Scott Street, the north, are full. A lot of people out there during the week. So if we're not there, I know it's a problem. And on top of that, the fair board, bless their hearts, they've hired now a security firm for every night of the grandstand entertainment to have anywhere from 3 to 6 people to help at least down to the stage because we just can't do it all. So,
but no major problems. I'd say that's
nothing.
That's
that was
success.
About half the calls we had last year, so we're down. It was a good week. Good weather. That helped a little bit, I think, too. Nice and cool.
I saw you out buzzing around on a four-wheeler. I ducked between some trailers. You were moving pretty quick.
Yes. Put a plug in for some of the businesses that give those to us because that we have two of ours, but that really helps us, especially on a hot week, get around the calls and not so hard on the body. So that really is very much appreciated. So.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Road and Bridge.
Okay.
Anything else for law enforcement? No. Okay. Road and Bridge.
Dirt crew installed the tube that we purchased probably a few months ago, one of the five over on that Holmesville Road. Quite an improvement on that if you go through there. Asphalt crew has been working on PWF overlaying culvert sites that were replaced. Galen had a pay request for $181,867 for the box culvert on Ellis, north of Ellis, and... they're working on it still. Backfilling, and if you've ever been out there, I mean, it's down in the ground pretty deep, so there's a lot of fill. Also, 39 miles of paint striping was finished last Thursday. Galen brought up that the Gage County has approximately $300,000 left in soft match funds. Discussed gravel allocations. Last but not least, I attended Galen's office yesterday. John Deere people were in on this crawler. Well, didn't quite turn out like I anticipated. The reason for this, their contention is that the that machine has 36-inch tracks on it. So, and for the flotation part of it, so those 36-inch tracks, when they're constantly going down in ditches and everything like you are, you know, that puts that pressure out there a lot more on the track pins itself because of the width of the tracks under ideal conditions. And they also said, well, one of the problem is, you know, this machine is another 6,000 pounds heavier than the last one you had. Well, to me, they should have made the tracks heavier then, but they didn't get that, I guess. So, I said we have equipment down the road we'll be purchasing and might not be looking at John Deere. Anyway, long story short, there was 40% wear on the tracks. Got 1,700 hours on the machine, 40% wear on the tracks. It did have extended warranty on it. So the county's cost on this thing is possibly going to be $2,500. New pins, new track, undercarriages, and all that kind of stuff. So in the long run, I guess it's cheap, but it still doesn't solve the problem, and that's what I tried to tell them.
Yeah.
You know. So anyway.
We're going to go ahead and replace the, basically replace or do the repair work to fix the tracks.
Yes.
Yes.
And at the time then, Galen had stated, and I'm sure they're going to do it if the weather's right and we need a machine down here, they will, if they have something available, they will let us use a replacement machine during that time. I think in time frame we're talking about 3-4 days max to do all the work. So.
John and I stopped and looked at that machine, and I mean the rails were worn pretty bad on the sides, and on the planetary, the gear there, those are, I mean, they're just rounded off, and for that kind of hours, it seemed crazy.
Well, the other older machine had 4,000 hours and no work done to it, the one that was traded in. Is that correct, Galen? That's what I understood.
What width of shoes did that one have? Were those 30s?
Those were 36, weren't they, Galen? They were the wide also. Mm-hmm. But if it's the extra weight of the machine using the same track the old one had, or the same undercarriage the old one had with that extra weight, I don't know.
So you're saying we should have just kept the old one, not spent the money?
Darn!
Yeah. But I agree with you. That's something we'll take into account when we price a different one or whatever.
Part of that warranty expense, he said a major part of it, I think, was coming through John Deere, and Murphy was going to stand part of it also. I don't know the percentage of sure, but I guess, and when he explained it to me, he says kind of like a battery, you got warranty on a battery. Well, after so many years, that warranty decreases, and I can understand that. We've got 2 years, basically, of service out of these tracks, and we'll get new ones for $2,500. It makes sense, but it doesn't solve the problem. That's right. What my issue was.
Because the new ones, probably you're going to have the same issue.
Yeah.
Or a good possibility you have the same issue with it. The extended warranty, was that for 5 years, do you remember, or was that for 3 years?
No.
Five.
5 years.
Full machine.
For 5 years.
But not undercarriage. Partial undercarriage.
Partial undercarriage.
Well, what's a set of tracks cost if we...
I never asked the 12 or 15. At the time.
Well, the last time, the one prior to that one, we put a complete undercarriage under it. That was $47,000.
$47,000?
Yeah, but that was rollers and everything. I mean, it was a complete undercarriage.
And our estimated cost is $2,500.
Yeah.
For the county share.
1,700 hours, less than $2 an hour. Yeah. Cost of doing business. Galen, you just said put an undercarriage underneath the other one. Is that one you bought it new? Cause we just said that we had 4,000 hours on the other one. We didn't have any issues with it.
Well, on the other, the prior one that we had at that time, we didn't. It was up to trade it in for a new one. At that time, we didn't have the funds. And the undercarriage, I mean, it was completely shot. So we opted to go ahead and put a new undercarriage on it and run it for another, I believe, year and a half, whatever it was, before we purchased the new one.
And we traded it in with the better undercarriage. Otherwise, you would have lost that value on the trade-in, too. Okay, anything else, Road and Bridge?
Nope.
Good. Next up, Walker. We're here with our quarterly engage report.
Good morning.
Morning.
You guys all have my report. I'm just going to go through my highlights, what I think was kind of the cool things that have happened recently. Some of them kind of dipped into the next quarter, but kind of going back, we kicked it off. We got the NYFA housing credits from NYFA, housing tax credits. The plan is now to knock down the old hospital here in town and put up half of it will be workforce housing, half will be senior housing. So that's a pretty darn big deal, I think.
You're going to put up what there?
Housing. So there'll be senior housing it'll be intermixed, but some will be senior housing, some will be workforce housing. So it'll all be, you'll either be age restricted or income restricted, but we won't have an old hospital sitting in the middle of town anymore, and now we'll have something on the tax rolls. Questions?
Thoughts, but no questions.
Thoughts? All right. You gather them, and we'll talk about them later, okay? Some other stuff. We're working pretty hard on marketing right now. I hired a drone kind of video production company. You probably saw drones running around on homestead days and at the fair and the golf tournament and just all sorts of places. We've had drones up in the air and then people running around with videos, just capturing footage, and then we're shooting some photography too. Our thought is we need better material to market, market the community, market the county, to market our businesses. And the people come to us and say, do you have anything I can show somebody as we recruit a new person to come here? We didn't really have anything that really told our story, and so that's what we're kind of working on, is basically documenting our lives, our events, everything down here, and we can go to people and say, this is who we are, this is what we do, and you know, we want you to join our team. So hopefully in the next week or so we'll finally have our first draft of a video, and then we'll be kicking them out here in the next maybe month or two. But I have a group of kind of young folks that have either moved back here or have stayed here, you know, kind of young families that have said, you know, like, what makes you happy here? They're kind of sitting in on these meetings, and they'll say, this is what I like about the video. This is what I think will click with other people. So just trying to grow in population. The Governor's Summit on Economic Development was the second annual one, was just here a few weeks ago. We got a ton of airtime from not only the governor, but some other people that were on panels. Pat Nareth was actually on a panel. But a lot of it on our international efforts, because the governor was down here in the area four times recently, but he came down for the World Lawn ribbon cutting. So they're finally kind of officially in their new building and cranking. He was down here for the Duonix open house, and then also for a tour of E-Energy Adams. And so those were all things that were top of his mind, and he was really focusing on international trade, international development. And when he said Beatrice, he said Gigich County, he was naming businesses in, we got a ton of airtime, I think, compared to other areas of the state. So we have a lot of good things going on. And he really tied to doing on the Japan trade mission, which I will be joining him on that too, just because part of the Flint Hills Duonix thing is the Itochu Corporation, which is based out of Japan. So we'll be tagging along on that. We hosted the Nebraska Business Development Center's director here, Kathy Lang, and showed her around a little bit, and that actually led to kind of a last-minute request. They had a request from the Small Business Administration to apply for some funding, and they needed to do it within a day. And so she said, hey, can I use Beatrice as this application? We said, sure. She goes, great, because I already wrote it, and it's already on its way. And they got the funding. And so what will happen, we're still trying to figure out. We have a call later today to figure this out. But we'll have the entire NBDC staff in town for a week, and we'll do probably some detailed marketing plans for some select businesses in the area. So that's about all the info I have on it. But it's pretty cool to be top of mind, and somebody wanted to get some grand dollars, and they chose us. And that happened actually another time. We haven't heard back on it yet, but the Heartland Center for Leadership Development called us and was thinking about us because we had hosted this CERN, which is the Southeast Nebraska Networking Group, which all like service providers and economic development guys like me. But one of the folks from the Heartland Center was at our meeting, and they had gotten a request from the USDA to go after some grant funds, and they called us and said, hey, can we use Gage County for this application? So we submitted an application here a week or two ago. We haven't heard back yet from the USDA if we got it, but it was a $100,000 grant request, and what will happen if we get that, we can do detailed kind of community facilities planning for every community in Gage County. And we'll probably try to group some of them together and look at them from like regional areas. But the thought is that we'd have kind of a 2-year planning process kind of should coincide, I guess, with your comp plan. So looking at, overall, what do we want to grow as the communities grow? What are the services that we need in each community? So it goes really well along then with the retail study that we're doing in Beatrice, about what facilities and the community needs here too. So we have all these studies. They will come together eventually at one point. I think we can piece them together and make something work. So hoping on that one. Just some other updates. We're getting close, I think, on the Hills Furnishings. Actually, I think we're going to transition that business successfully, which would be nice. The Wymore Good Sam facility is actually under contract, which is great news for that community. So we have some folks that are looking at doing something similar with that again, too, and they'll try to keep all of their all the resources they need locally. So they want to borrow everything locally and use the local grocery store and the pharmacy and all that. So we were actually supposed to have a meeting on it this morning, but they had another issue come up with a different project, and so we had to postpone it. But we'll get that planned here again pretty soon. Next week, our hotel study developer will be in town, so we decided to just go ahead and do the hotel study because we had guys that said we're itching to get something done, but we want to see your numbers. And they said it's just going to hold up the process if you don't have it done, so we're going to have to do it either way. So I said we'll just do it. And so we hired it, paid half the contract. She's in town. She's already got half of her meetings set up, but she'll be in town next Wednesday, Thursday. And she'll meet with – I gave her a list of 30, 40 people to meet with, and then she's just looking at, how big a facility do we need if we do need one, and what all should go along with it. So hopefully in the next month, I would say, we might actually have some numbers or a report back from our developer or from the consultant saying what the demand is for rooms in Beatrice and Gage County. Oh, we had another great groundbreaking the other day, too. We had sent out two press releases last week, one for the Whispering Winds development, which is the memory care facility that's going out by BSDC, and then also we had a groundbreaking for the Hendrix turkey barns over by Odell. So the Shales decided to put up some production barns, some egg-laying barns for the hatchery here in the industrial park. So I don't know. I think it's just a win-win. We land this hatchery, and we're hoping that it spins out more projects, and then you land a multi-million-dollar barn that's going up in the county, which is awesome, and I think there's a chance we might get another one, too. So it just pays dividends down the road. So not only is it, I think, just nice to have on the tax rolls, it's another income stream, and it's another reason for her family and her kids and her hired men to all have something to do. So it just keeps a lot of jobs in the area. But I don't know, that's probably good for now. Any questions?
Busy time.
That's just quarter two. That's just the
that's
highlights.
Just quarter two.
Yes.
No, I appreciate your report very much. Appreciate you coming and talking to us. That helps to update us so we get a sense of how busy you guys are now and stuff. So that it's grown it's grown a lot from where we started this or whatever and stuff. So thank you. I just say that. Thank you. And
you're welcome. We love it.
Glennis and, yeah.
As always, doors always open, phone lines always open. Stop in, give me a call.
No. You're too busy for us, Walker.
No, I always make time. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Do we need to put the report on file?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Lytle, seconded by Bauman. Vote. 7-0 to put the report on file. Walker's Engage report. Next up on the agenda, Tom Bliss, Executive Director for SAND, introducing himself and some of his people. So,
yeah, good morning.
Morning.
Good morning. I brought you cards. I'm sure you guys like those.
You bet.
Good morning. My name is Tom Bliss. I'm the new executive director for Southeast Nebraska Development District. I've been here since April, and this is Jacqueline Fee. She's been here since June. She is our new community development planner. I will let Jacqueline speak on her behalf, though. But I just really wanted to stop by today, say hello, introduce myself, kind of explain who SAND is, and also express our appreciation for your support. Real quickly, I will kind of run through some of the projects we're doing in Gage County right now. Blue Springs, we just wrapped up a block grant project that was a street sidewalk improvement. If you haven't been through there lately, you notice a difference. The streets are a lot nicer. Actually, I think they were gravel prior. Now they are hard surfaced, so they look really sharp. We just submitted a street proposal for Wymore, and that would be improving three streets, drainage system. They'd be expanding their inlets for their storm sewer system and replacing some asphalt as well. So if that project gets funded, that's about $500,000, $500,000-some improvement to their community. And all the streets had into their main business corridor. So hopefully that will make an improvement. We are meeting tonight with them to talk about an owner-occupied rehab housing project. Tonight, the council has intentions to prepare a pre-application to the Community Development Block Grant Program, or CDBG. If that project gets funded, they would make improvements to about 8 to 10 houses. Owner-occupied rehab essentially is a program in which communities across the state can make application, and if they're funded, they can do some minor rehabilitation to owner-occupied as opposed to rental properties. Each house, each unit can do about $25,000 worth of improvements. So that can make a substantial difference. I mean, if someone is limited as far as what they can put into their house, a new roof, new windows, new water heater, new air conditioning heater can make a substantial difference. And once again, kind of like Walker was talking about, that keeps those houses on the tax roll, which is important. Something that we're working with on a variety of communities is nuisance abatement. And I'm sure you guys have seen this in smaller communities. Sometimes if you're the mayor or city council, it's hard to tell your neighbor that they need to clean up their property. We are working with a number of communities across southeast Nebraska to introduce a program where SAND is kind of the heavy, if that makes sense. We will come in and we will write the letters because it's easier for them to yell at us as opposed to yelling at their neighbor. We're working with a number of communities on that, and we're excited to see how that project goes. We're also working on something called a Comprehensive Economic Development Strategy, kind of like Walker with his many plans. This is a regional plan. This covers 15 counties. So in essence, what we're trying to do as a region is identify the needs that each county, each community has, cobble those together into one plan, and then that can be used to secure funding at the state, federal, and foundational levels. So we're excited about that. As a new director, what I'm hoping to do is expand the list of programs and services that we offer. We're also trying to build some partnerships across the region. We've visited with Walker and Glennis on a couple of things. They were very, very helpful in preparing the application for the Wymore Public Works project. So they do some amazing things. And he was right. I attended the governor's summit, and yeah, Beatrice was the star of the show. So that's really something that you should be proud of. So a little bit about me. I've been here since April. Prior to that, I was in St. Joseph, Missouri, where I was a director for 14 years at a similar organization. We did all sorts of things from Homeland Security to emergency management, workforce development. So I've got a pretty broad resume, and that's where I'm hoping to partner with Engage Walker to see how we can potentially tap their success and share that with your neighbors. So if you have any other questions.
I got a quick question.
Yeah.
The Wymore and Blue Springs, you had block grants. How much of the funding is that from, like, another government source, or what are they contributing, I guess? What is it, percentages, or?
It is a percentage, correct. The Wymore project, they had been setting aside some money from their street budget for a couple years. And the streets that they've identified are on their 1 and 6 year plans. This is just a way to kind of speed up that 1 and 6 year plan. They requested $250,000 and they matched it with $276,000. So it's not really a handout, but in essence, they are doubling their buying capacity.
Additional funds they can use.
Exactly, and as I said, they are going to be able to push that 1 and 6 year plan probably 4 years down the road. So they are just accelerating it substantially. It's a great project. And of course, Blue Springs, I really doubt they would have ever had hard service streets without the support that they received.
Where does your funding come from? Like, a twofold question. I guess I'm a little confused. Where does your funding come from, and why are we building streets and sidewalks in villages? I guess I don't understand it.
Good question. Funding for SEND or funding for those particular projects?
Both.
Okay. So SEND is established by state statute. We've been around for about 50 years. We receive money from some money from the state, not a whole lot, some money from local governments, and some money from the federal government. We don't get a whole lot from the federal government. We get about $60,000 a year. And what we do with those dollars is to help communities like Wymore and Blue Springs prepare the applications for the state and federal dollars. Our intent is to try to bring back as many of our federal tax dollars into the region as we can. So the county didn't so much participate financially other than being a member of SEND, where we were able to help Blue Springs and Wymore secure those federal dollars. For the most part, it's really kind of a partnership of the state, federal, and local governments to help generate additional programs and projects in the region, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and we actually have a board member, Eric Sarver.
Yeah, Eric Sarver.
I haven't been around since Tom's been up there, really. We just went through a transition where we have our new executive director, and this Tom is going to be a good breath of fresh air, different management style I can see already from our former director. SEND really works a lot with these smaller communities. Like Beatrice, I'm hoping you guys can build a relationship with Beatrice. There was some hang-ups there before that I'm hoping now we get through. But these smaller communities, the villages, that don't have an on-staff person to write grants, to administer grants, to have a code enforcement officer, SEND can really help with that. It kind of spreads that load out over a larger area for, say, a code enforcement person. as far as finding the grants and then administering them. SEND actually gets some of their funding through fees through administering those grants or those programs, but we're not really funding it. We're a very, very small piece. SEND's really working to pull those dollars back. They're still public funds. We're still paying for it, but if we can pull some funds in instead of letting it all go to Omaha or Lincoln, that's great to pull it back into our regions.
Yeah, thanks, Eric.
We fund just a little over $11,000, and my encouragement would be, at least in the villages that have been in my district, there's, I think, maybe one contributes to SEND. It would be Claytonia or Pickerel, one of the two. Okay. I've talked to some of the other communities over the years. There's been somewhat of a disconnect of what all do you do? So make an effort to get out there and really push that again, because that would be great, because you really are a conduit for these smaller villages and towns to be able to access some dollars that normally they don't have the time or the resources to get on their own.
I appreciate that. And that's something that we're really looking at doing. You know, for the longest time, I think we've been grant-focused, and that's, in my mind, that's an important thing. I am a true believer in rural America. I am a I'm passionate about bringing federal dollars back, your tax dollars, back to your area, as opposed to Omaha, Lincoln, East Coast, West Coast. I think a lot of those dollars get saddled there, and unfortunately, we need to. Well, unfortunately, it's hard to have a voice in those big population centers. So that's what we're trying to do, be your voice and attract those dollars back. But we are trying to expand the number of services that we can offer. And that's why when Jacqueline applied for the position, we hired her. Jacqueline, actually, I knew Jacqueline down in St. Joe. She was, as I mentioned, one of the programs that we offered down there was emergency management and disaster resiliency. I saw how important disaster resiliency was after the 2011 Missouri River flood. That had a substantial impact on our region, and we saw that there are steps communities can take to better prepare themselves, better prepare the businesses, the industries within our region, that, you know, if a tornado hits or a snowstorm or a flood occurs, there are steps you can take to better prepare your community. And so that's one of the reasons we brought Jacqueline on board, is because that's her background. And she was actually one of my interns down there, and I thought she did a great job. So, Jacqueline, I'm going to let you speak for a minute.
I will make a suggestion first, in case you might already be doing it. Build a relationship with your state senators to represent our area. The amount of influence that they have on the budget and the amount of money that comes back into these programs is immense. So build a relationship. Don't just meet them. Stay in contact and teach them about your programs.
We also have on the board of directors former and, well, I guess they'd be former state senators too, so they have good relationships that they can also visit back and forth as yourself.
Well, thank you. Yeah, good point.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for having us here today. I just want to say I'll also pass around my business cards. So, yeah, as Tom was explaining, my background is emergency and disaster management, and that's what I hope to bring to SEND's portfolio. So while I will be helping with grants, we also want to offer a little bit more. And while we want to try to get our word out of what we do, this is also our chance to let them know other opportunities that you can get with your membership with SEND. So I have already been looking into some good grants or assistance that we can get through FEMA if you want to do anything for business resiliency. Some examples would be some hazard mitigation grant programs, pre-disaster mitigation, flood mitigation assistance, repetitive flood claims, and severe repetitive loss. So the idea with those, that I'm going to see what requirements are with that, but that's something else that we can get some assistance for building and mitigating for disasters. And I also plan on trying to get a workshop going for anyone that wants to attend for business resiliency. So my idea would be to make a logic model of goals, short-term, middle, and long-term. And the statistics I found from FEMA were 40% of businesses that did not plan for disasters did not come back after the disaster. 25% of those businesses failed to come back after that disaster within the following year. So my plan is to do what can you get from this, how you can do this. So anything, even an example of meeting with your insurance and making a plan. So things like that, and this is very beginning stages. I just came up with this last week. So I will get more information on that, but I also plan on getting floodplain manager certified. So with that, we can look at the CRS, so the community rating systems for your floodplain. And with that, it's scaled to 1 to 10. So let's say 10 is you need the most assistance. And what I can do is give you I can help get you to a 9, and what that's going to do is give you a percentage off of your floodplain insurance, and if that's going to be helpful at all. And I've also been meeting with emergency managers to see what you guys have in place and what I can do to help. And if you guys have any questions, don't be afraid to reach out to me, and I'm here to help. I'm also helping with doing grants and projects, but that's something else that we're hoping to bring to the table.
Oh, emergency management. I didn't expect that. That's very good. Mm-hmm. And since your name is Fee, do you charge extra or do you no fee?
No fee.
Okay.
Just me.
Okay.
And that's a plus in this case.
Okay. Just got to check.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We should put you in contact with our regional emergency management group. We just signed that agreement. I don't know who the chairman of that is now. What's that group?
The fiscal agent is Lancaster Emergency Manager, I know.
Was it 10? Maybe if you have an opportunity, contact NEMA and find out who the contact would be on our – we have a regional emergency management group. They seek out grant dollars. That's probably would be a great – connection to make there. Yeah.
Absolutely. And if you guys have any questions, anything that you want to go moving forward, problems you've had in the past, and I can see what solution that we can come up with.
What do you know about communications?
About communications?
Radios, towers.
When you need them, they don't work.
You're brilliant.
She would have said this is a while.
Okay. Give her an A. Give her an A or a 100, I think.
Are you thinking that Don needs to get her an application?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That's what
you
I'm thinking.
You need them, they don't work.
I also, if you are interested, if you guys are, there is a disaster training that is coming up in October. It's called Missouri Hope. I don't know if any of you have heard of that, but they go over a tornado situation if that were to happen in the Midwest. And I encourage any emergency managers, if you want to get in contact with me, I'm going to be on staff for the second time this year. So it's a really great way to learn the different phases and different ways that you can respond to and incident command systems and how that works. So if you have any questions on that as well, more than willing to give you information on that.
John McKee, on name drop there, probably John McKee over in Jefferson, and I think he covers Celine as well. He's been a resource to us in transition in the past.
Okay.
He's pretty well known, pretty knowledgeable man.
Awesome. Yes, thank you. I'll reach out to him.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you again. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
I've got a question for Tom. You gave the rough match for Wyomore as far as their street project, but was that similar for Blue Springs?
Actually, I believe Blue Springs provided more. They'd been saving their funds.
Well, they have been. They've had kind of a campaign to blacktop some of their streets for some time, so theirs was more than a 50-50 match.
I believe they matched by 300 something. I don't know. I can't remember the number off the top of my head, but it was substantially more.
I guess it was able to expand the project and make it a little more with the grant. So
right, and for the owner-occupied rehab, there is no match for that.
Yeah.
But what we are using is the survey, the housing survey that Walker and Glennis did, So we're going to use that. And then that's a substantial piece to that puzzle. So DED, when they're evaluating the application, that's an important piece. So that's another thing that Engage has done to potentially bring some additional federal funds back into the community.
Thank you.
Very good.
Thank you again. We appreciate it.
Yep. Next on our agenda, Lisa Wiegand with the Tourism Director's report.
Hi, guys. I was glad to hear that the sheriff didn't have too many bad things happen. I'm here today to talk a little bit about the fair, just give you some overall statistics. And then many of you were out at the fair and asked me about how's the eclipse planning coming. So I'm going to touch a little bit briefly on that and let you know what kind of calls we're getting to come in. But the total grandstand attendance this year for the fair was down just 6%. But if you remember, we had that Wednesday rain and right about the right time, and that was a welcome sight for many of us. So we'll never complain about in the agricultural world about rain. But we took in about 8,200 people through the grandstand entertainment. And then overall, we click every head into the fairgrounds. We were over 30,000 for a five-day event. And with that, we had 14 states that were represented, along with 31 Nebraska counties. And we use that information because of marketing, where our marketing is working and where we need to focus a little bit more. But we had Canada represented, and then we also had a large group come from Germany that were actually out at the Homestead National Monument touring. And so they happened to stop by, and we were excited to have them there, too. But we mentioned security and the things that happen when you have that large volume of people come to the fair. You do have things that happen, and we need to protect everyone that's there. And so the Ag Society actually did take the incentive about 2 years ago and started hiring some security, especially on Friday nights of every night of the races. We hire about four additional security people because that helps protect our liquor license, in addition to kind of keep things tamed down a little bit in some of those public nuisance issues. And then again, this year for fair, we hired 6 to 8 additional security people every night, one undercover, but also with the staff that the county gives us. We appreciate everything that they also do for us because it's everybody's fair. We had 1,100 exhibitors at the fair this year. That's just not in 4-H and FFA, but that's also an open class. So that's open to anyone that wants to contribute, come exhibit, whatever you have. And that says a lot about being happy about who we are and the county that we are. So we just want to take this opportunity to thank the community for letting us put on this fair. You're a strong support group. The supervisors are the county dollars that we come and we receive from the county. They're pretty clear as what we can spend those funds for, because we can't spend them for entertainment. That has to be self-sufficient. It can only spend it for premiums, judges, and ribbons, and also the overall repairs and maintenance at the fairgrounds. So, but yeah, going on to eclipse. So that's a question you all asked me, and you wondered how things were going. And so these are the facts that we know right now. On the average, we get about 100-plus inquiries a day, and we're seeing that increase. First of all, the logistics part has been well into the planning, as Gus would contribute, and many of you as supervisors have contributed. You've attended those meetings that have been happening down at the Chamber of Commerce and been put into place of how do we prepare for these people. And realistically, when I started this position, I thought, okay, somewhat hesitant about our numbers, and now I'm confirmed that we do need to be prepared. Most likely, we need to prepare for kind of a natural disaster when we put into those things in effect, as far as preparing yourself, making sure that, your fuel is topped off and ATMs are full and supplies and your medical and prescriptions are taken care of, as a personal people that live in this area, treat it as if there's a blizzard, a 4-day blizzard coming. But in this case, we know exactly the day that it's going to happen. So, at the fairgrounds, as most of you know, we've been taking reservations out there for camping for over almost 10 months now. Are we full? No, we keep driving around and seeing. We have a large number of people that are just staying in two-people tent, coming with their cars because they want to just pitch a tent and then quickly go on. And then we have other guests that are staying with us for 10 days. The majority of the marketing investments that were made that this group committed to is contributing to the success of the people that are coming in. If we were going to start marking out, I think, which we do plan to when the guests come in, Matt, you want to say something because you're
so... Well, that's pretty good marketing if you can convince somebody to stay for 10 days for
I can.
2.5
I am,
deal.
I am the most
you're
persuasive
hired.
Person that you could find. But those are people that actually are, you know, working out at the Homestead National Monument. Those are NASA photographers, and they're bringing in campers and those sorts of things. So they're 5 days before, 5 days after, those sorts of things, and have chosen that group. But I think going back to seeing where our states, you know, our United States is being represented, it wouldn't surprise me if we got all 50 states represented, you know, when we start to mark that out. And what you'll find is all those connecting relationships. My goal is always to try to get back to everybody within 24 hours. And with Fair Week last week, that didn't work out so well. But because we know that if we don't talk to them within 24 hours, they're desperate. They want to go someplace. And so we got to make sure that they come here, you know, to Gage County. And the questions that they ask are pretty self, you know, they're easy to us, but not so easy for them because they don't know what Gage County looks like at all. For instance, they just know that they don't know we have wide open spaces, essentially. We don't have skyscapes. Anywhere that you go into Gage County, whether you're traveling from the north or the south or the east or the west, you know, you may be plugged on some of your highways. And we have small communities that are planning everything, you know, too. So it's not about coming to Beatrice, Nebraska. It's also coming to Cortland and Adams and Philly and Wymore and Blue Springs, because they have as much to offer too at some point in time. So what we're also finding out in industry, some of the businesses I know you have up on your agenda, what are you going to do with your employees during that time? I actually had a meeting out at the hospital and worked with those department heads about 3 weeks ago just to kind of confirm some of those things that we're seeing. And as they plan logistically for emergencies and drop-offs. We do know that, you know, our roads are going to be, you know, somewhat high traffic volume, and it may be hard for those individuals to get to where they need to, especially those nuisance calls, whether it's parking on the wrong side of the road or some of those issues won't have a quick response. But with that being said, going back to what business are doing, we're finding that the majority of them are taking some time off just to let their employees enjoy, you know, the eclipse, and taking in mind the quality of work would probably not be supportive anyway unless you did that, just so. So that's what we're finding. It always confirms the fact we just are telling people to have some patience with us when they call in. We try to give them as much information as we can. Reservations for camping, and there's very few people that are now taking reservations. It's always on a first-come, first-served basis, but knowing that now the city has opened up some of their ground also to viewing makes it a little easier. We've got some church parking lots and the YMCA and the gun club and some of those other places that have opened up too. But more importantly, we tell people just come prepared like you would. Have your water, you know, make sure that you don't get too hot. We know that we have at least 200 flight plans, I believe, that are filed already in Beatrice, Nebraska for the airport. So questions?
Back to the fair, how many, you had 1,100 exhibitors. How are we looking compared to last year?
You know, maybe up about 4% to 5%, and most of that's in the open class area because we try to get grandparents and kids involved a little bit more. We focused on some special projects that they could
do. I was gonna guess even more. I thought it seemed like there was more. More action out there, quite a bit more than last year even.
Yeah, you know, the success of agriculture, you know, and how good the flowers grow and how good the garden products grow kind of contributes, and that cooler weather probably helped more so than anything. So, but other questions? We'll come back to you with that quarterly report, which will be added on 1 month because we want to go ahead and include the eclipse to it, and so we'll get back to you after the fact.
Help clarify for me. I've heard
anywhere from 10,000, 60,000, in excess of 150,000 people in Gage County. What are those numbers?
The planning meetings that I've gone to before, not necessarily with this particular event, but mostly planning meetings for fair events and as you plan for large groups, say that you're supposed to take your largest event, which in our case this year would be the Gage County Fair, that attendance level, and take it times an X factor. But you have to decide what that X factor is. The fact that Homestead National Monument is our biggest perk in the county, I call that the hook attraction, and then you add on the fact, Matt, that you have that being premiered as the top one in the top 10 places to see that site, you should probably take that times two or three. That's only my opinion, but that's as they tell us to get prepared for. So we could be looking up to, 65 to 90,000 people extra coming. So don't quote me. I'm not sticking to it.
What somebody told me is prepare for a football Saturday.
Yep.
But a football Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday morning.
Yeah. Well, I've heard football Saturday plus the Berkshire Hathaway meeting plus the take them all and put them together, and that's how many people we're going to have.
Selling Gage County becomes much easier when you're taking reservations, or you're talking to people because of what we're offering, too. Not only do we have all these communities offering these things, but we also have the shuttle service that was put into place that is taking people, that 10-stop area that's taking people from the airport, picking up at the at the hotels, stopping downtown Beatrice, and then going on to do the fairgrounds and making that return shift. And that fact that they don't have to move again is a huge selling point. That's usually what secures the deal for them to come to Gage County. So,
do we have statutory authority to make temporary toll roads?
Porta potties maybe in showers, but so. All right. Thanks a bunch, you guys.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa. Next on the agenda, approve or disapprove Southeast Nebraska Adult Drug Court interlocal agreement with Fillmore, Gage, Jefferson, Thayer, and Saline counties effective July 1, 2017 through June 30th, 2018.
Move to approve. Second.
A motion by Lytle, seconded by Bauman. And Roger, we'll let you.
Just real quick, you should notice the total dollar amount for this contract is about $1,500 less than last year. The number of participants has actually gone up, both from Beatrice or from Gage County, but we have other counties that are participating a little more than they have in the past. So our total is about 48% of the total budget that's not covered by the state and probation, which is down considerably. I would just note that the recidivism rate is one of those major measuring sticks a lot of times we look at, the public looks at, as far as taxpayer money. We're still at about 75% people that within 5 years do not reoffend, which is very high. That's higher than the state average and also higher than the national average. So you got good people over there on the committee that I think really do an excellent job in administering this program. So it'd be my recommendation. And by the way, it does save us quite a bit of money when we are able to resolve these cases without going to a jury trial, taking up a lot of taxpayer expense that way, because typically we don't get reimbursed for that. And also, when you have 75% of these people actually learn what it's like to get up before noon, have a job, and get off their addiction. So I would recommend you approve.
Any more discussion, questions? If not, vote. 7-0 in favor. And next. Entertain a motion to approve or disapprove amendment for the subgrant agreement between Gage County and the Nebraska Department of Health and Human Services Division of Children and Family Service Child Support Enforcement Program, and having chairman sign agreement and audit requirement certification.
So move.
Second.
Motion by Byers, second by Bauman. Purpose of this amendment is to extend the current agreement to account for the work of the county attorney's office that is related to child support enforcement. The amendment is effective from 10-1-2017 through 9-30-2018.
This is basically a piggyback, if you will, to a contract you approved through Ms. Wells, I think, last meeting. Basically, if you do everything in accordance with their requirements, you get reimbursed for the work. And I know Diane does a real good job of submitting her numbers so that we get reimbursed some of those. And this is basically the same situation in regard to Mr. Kravick's work, who is the authorized attorney out of our office that does the child support enforcement. And again, this is one of those things that, and I don't know the exact amount we get reimbursed. It is significant, though.
Yes.
So
I can't remember the exact amount either, but it is significant.
So again, I would recommend this is state money coming back in for the work that's done very well here in Gage County.
Any more questions? If not, vote. 7-0 in favor. Next, I've entertained a motion to approve or disapprove resolution to assist the Department of Agriculture in collecting an unpaid administrative fine.
Motion to approve.
Second.
A motion by Bauman, second by Lytle.
And that would be resolution number 17-24.
And I think this one we need a little explanation on there, Roger.
Okay. A short period of time ago, we were contacted by the Department of Agriculture in reference to a situation. And this is an individual that we have some history with as far as some violations in the past. Some of you may not have been on the board. This was shortly after I was elected. We did this case, and this person violated some rules administratively. They took her, brought her up there. I don't even know if she appeared at these hearings. Anyhow, there was a fine administered against her, and they're seeking our assistance as the county attorney's office to go after it. And basically what we would do is attach it as a district court lien on the property so that if she sold it and there's some discussion that she might be selling it, that's why they asked us to move on it. I thought it was something that, number one, I wanted a letter from them requesting our help and exactly what that is. Number two, I wanted your authority after looking at this. Because, again, that, quite frankly, there was some tough feelings after that whole situation. And I don't think, I'll just say, you know, there was a lot of animals up there, and there was, we felt through the office that there was some neglect issues, not maybe maliciously, just sometimes I think this lady took on more than she could handle. And, again, my position would be on this, even though it may be a little hot potato as far as handling it, I always like to at least cooperate with the Department of Agriculture because they do give us other assistance, and we ask for their help sometimes. Sometimes if you help them out a little bit, and our time is our contribution to this is going to be our time as far as pursuing this, and that's about it.
And in the resolution, it does state up there which statutes in its accordance with and everything. And,
right.
And the name, I mean, since the name's in here, it's Mary Stickney or
yes.
Whatever. And it's $2,250 that they're requesting. And you guys can get a copy of it or whatever.
My questions would be, do you have time to do this? And secondly, why can't the Department of Agriculture do this themselves? Why does this have to go through the county?
Basically, the way the statute's designed, it's either the county attorney or the attorney general. Now, and again, there's an individual or his office that we get a lot of assistance on big cases. And quite frankly, this is one that, time-wise, we'll find a time. And again, it's not one of these that's going to require a jury trial. I'm not saying it may not require a trial, but yeah, the issue is pretty much there. She didn't appear, or she got a fine against her, so that's really, she needs to appeal that. The appeal time is run on that, so it's a matter of file it, argue it, and ask the judge to enter an order that attaches to the real estate.
Yeah, and it's not, she didn't get a fine from the county. She got a fine through the state.
Yeah,
the Department of Agriculture.
Right.
And they're asking, they wrote this, to assist the Nebraska Department of Agriculture in collecting an unpaid administrative fine in accordance with, and it lists several statutes here. So those statutes are what are why they need to go through this route in
Cleveland County. This is the second round of inheritance that we've received regarding this matter. I believe initially we took this over from the state control. Way back in the day, I think, when the initial complaint was made.
Yeah.
Well, I know Sheriff Gustafson was involved very heavily on that initial situation because it was one of those things that just kind of mushroomed. I don't think we had any idea. That was about 2010, as I recall. And I won't tell you how the trial came out, but we did one on one count out of 99.
Great.
We're livestock friendly. We're not domestic friendly.
This line right here, what the approved cost of action to be paid from?
Yeah, basically that's the cost of the filing the suit, which is basically, I think it's $80-some. Anyhow, I'm going to seek the reimbursement from that from the Department of Agriculture.
But we need to fill that in.
I would just put the
county
general fund.
County General Fund.
General Fund.
H County General Fund.
Yeah.
Okay. There's that right above that where it says motion that says the approved cost of action be paid from what we're approving is just what Roger said there, a cost of approximately $80 that he will try and get reversed from the Department of Agriculture, but that in this resolution it states that that will be paid from that Gage County General Fund.
Since he has such a big budget, it ought to come out of the county attorney's budget, I would think.
Well,
if, didn't volunteer that. Yeah.
His budget is
as they sell the real estate, the cost would be recovered. So,
yeah.
If I'm looking at the assessed values correctly, and with there should be enough equity in there.
Hey, let's do it real soon. That $80 is pretty important.
Yeah. Well,
okay.
I'd offer to take it out of my salary, but I want to see what you guys are doing on the budget next year.
We'd like to know too.
Any more questions? Otherwise, we'll go ahead and vote. 7-0 in favor. Next up, approve or disapprove placing temporary no parking signs along county township roads around the Homestead National Monument.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Bauman and seconded by Lyle. And Gus, I think you need to explain this because I've already had people tell me the buses are going around there. We can't do that or whatever.
I can tell you I'll be glad when August 21st is done. I can tell you that. I just tell people step back, take a big breath. It'll work out. As Lisa said, we have been having numerous meetings in person or conference calls. It was decided we're going to put some temporary signs up. I've extended that out a mile or two around the homestead. Again, you can be reactive in this, not proactive, but we're trying to figure out, you know, how we can handle it. In the past, we've had issues with getting emergency vehicles or just cars going by side by side on some of the roads around the homestead. So I talked to Galen. We have agreed on something. The homestead's not exactly wanting. They wanted some more, but this is all we're going to do because the rest of it was too much of a liability for the county. But having said that, if approved today, he'll order about 20 signs. He has about 9 already on hand, so if something comes up, we can pop a few more in if we need to. But there'll be just a basic symboled standard one. It's around the country. We're going to put any wording on it because there's people from other countries that might not speak English, so we're just going to have the symbol. And it will be temporary. We're going to put one on each end of the mile road and one in the center. So you should hopefully see that. It's going to be it'll be a posted no parking on the right-hand side. And then you can park on the opposite side from the side it's posted on parking. Like I made very clear to the homestead, they're talking about parallel and dial and parking. I said, whatever you do, you make sure they're far enough off the road so traffic can still come by if a bus is there. Because they want to drop them off into the road as much as they can instead of the gravel pile or out into the ditch. Because I will take enforcement action because we have got to get emergency vehicles through there. They're going to run their bus routes, of course, from South 75th, where the Heritage Center is, clockwise, back on 89th to Freeman School and 4 and back. And then they're going to go clockwise from 89th down to West Hickory through Beatrice, bus stops, and back out 4.
So I did, as my recommendation was, on West Hoyt from Southwest 61st to Southwest 103rd would be one road. Southwest 89th Road from West Scott Road to West Hickory Road. Southwest 75th Road from West Scott to Southwest 89th.
Now, is this one actually right? I mean, because 89 is a mile to the east, but does that part that angles, is that still 75th?
It's going to be on, you're on 89th, or you're talking about 75th?
I'm on 75th.
Yeah, it's going to go from West Scott Road, and it'll go down towards the plant and angle over to south of 89th. That's all going to be right-hand side, no parking. That's correct.
When you say right-hand side, is that...
Right-hand side...
Well, if I turn around and look the other way, that's my right-hand side.
The side is marked. That's what I tell people. You put too much in left and right. Just go over the sign, say no parking, go the opposite side. That's what I'm telling people.
Okay.
Clarify that.
Are you trying to confuse people?
Well, I didn't know if we were...
Apparently, it's a huge deal.
Right side and wrong side?
Yeah.
Maybe east side?
It's the right side where you've got this... That's the side you don't park where there's no parking.
Well, see, I drive on the right side, though.
Well, I would hope you would.
I want to make sure that our health insurance covers the mental issues that we have.
Tell me about it.
Gordon, the sheriff.
So do you parallel park or diagonal park?
They're going to try... Well, I was thinking parallel. They're talking about doing whatever they can to get as many cars in there as they can. I said, longs are off the road.
Or the rain, go straight in.
What if I have a container?
A lot of tow trucks.
Can I put a container on the right side?
A container?
Like a shipping container?
No. I'm hoping you're just going to stay home, I'm hoping.
If it's cloudy, it ain't going to matter.
It's right. All right. Then the next one was south of 75th to south of 89th road on West Juniper. That's the one a mile north of the homestead that's just that township road, but I want to get a little breathing room for us in the general area there. The last one was south of 89th Road to south of 61st. That takes 2 miles out east on West Hickory, because that is going to be the bus route, and then they're on their own from that point.
Did you get a copy to Doug and Scott of this so that they get that? Get it.
Otherwise, we can get you one, whatever you want. Yeah,
make sure you get one so that, that's out there, too, that it, and it will be limiting the parking to no parking on the one side. The other side, they still will be allowed to park.
So. Just tell them, the sign said don't park here. You just look over this direction. You
park on
there.
The other side.
Yep. You can't park on the right side. You can only park wrong side.
Wrong side.
Hey, can we denote this with east and west? And
we should make pamphlets and put those out.
Well, because yesterday on the website, I already got a call on that, and I talked to Mark. I said, Mark, this is, and I know they were trying to jump and get ahead of this, but I said, this isn't even accurate. So you make sure whatever I get done with drawing off the board, that's exactly how the advertising goes on this. So they're already starting to rework that.
They're just trying to be proactive. We cannot have cars out there parking on both sides of the road, and then only one vehicle allowed to go down through the middle. Pretty soon you're going to bottleneck it all.
Now, this is a real question, not teasing. When you do send guys out to mark these, I assume you're going to tell them mark the east side, the west side. If we send our sign guys out and say mark the right side, I mean, does that just depend on which side they drive
right
from?
There on that.
I'll definitely get with Gus.
I mean, that actually is just so it is the way you want it.
It is,
How soon are you going to put these up?
That's what I was going to mention to you. I'm going to try to run this as much as we are in an operational period for our command post. So we're going to do it the Wednesday before the eclipse and the Tuesday right after the eclipse. And then
those are the dates that these signs will be up.
Get that? Okay.
Along with that, moving towards the eclipse here, do you guys have everything you need? I assume you're going to have a trailer out there somewhere. Is there anything that, we've got a few weeks here. Is there anything we need to...
We're going to have the command post. We're going to put our command post or trailer right at the homestead, I think just to the west side. We'll still have down here at the police department, we're going to have the main command center there and man some people, but... we've got a location set up for the mounted posse coming from Seward County Sheriff's Office, so they've got a location. I think we have more businesses around. We're going to ask for a few more of those carts again like that for the fair. It really helps us. We get in a jam. It's going to be one of those things where we won't know what we're going to have to do until that happens. Obviously, everybody's days off and vacations were canceled, and we're all going to be boots on the ground. But that many people... it's a drop in the bucket, but we're doing what we can to...
If people do have a vehicle or like a utility vehicle or something, do they just call you? they want to make it available to you?
No, they're not. That's not even come up. I don't think that's going to be allowed. They might do things with handicap. If that's going to be busing.
For the Sheriff's Department.
Well, if they want to loan them out?
Yeah.
Yeah, call us.
Loan them to the Sheriff's Department, just give you a call.
Give us a call.
So, Supervisor Team, are you suggesting we buy the Sheriff a couple more vehicles before this event?
I'm not. I'm saying that the public would probably. I'll let you use a utility vehicle if you need one while you're running.
Sure, yeah. They really do come in handy. Yeah, it is. So.
We don't need anything.
And we're hoping, with a mounted posse, my goal is to have them just work that 1 square mile around that section around the homestead, really hit that hard and make sure, answer questions for public and go ahead and make sure they're getting off the road and parked like they should. So.
And I realize the concern out at the homestead because that is going to be a key part of this.
It is going to be very much.
But the eclipse will be viewable all over.
Absolutely.
So it's not like you
have to be there.
Have to be in one spot. We don't have to have 60,000 people at the homestead. No. Eclipse will be viewable.
Anywhere you don't have a tree obstruction.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yep. You have some horses right down the road if you need two, Gus.
Can the horses park on the side with the sign?
Only if there's a hitching post.
Whose horses?
My wife's.
Oh,
I think
okay.
Okay. They only buck once in a while.
We have a motion and a second to approve.
We do.
Putting up the temporary sign. Anything else? Yes.
I think that covers it. Time, the date, the locations. Any questions? If they have any questions, they can call their homesteader and talk to Mark. They can call and talk to me.
And I'm sure we'll get more emails or text or whatever from people too.
Absolutely.
Having questions. So.
Sure.
Okay.
Right.
Vote. 7-0 in favor.
Thank you.
We put the next one on here. Discuss and approve or disapprove the 911 agreement between the City of Beatrice and Gage County. Did visit with Tobias, and everybody should have in their packet. Tobias came up with the numbers and the figures about Denny had asked about the how they came up with so-called the Gage County's dollar amount that went into this and how they come up with the different things. That is there for everybody to look at. Trying to think of what – we talked to Tobias on the rest of that agreement, the trailer part, which we've had a lot of discussion about. I visited with Joe several times over it. The one main contact person that we had talked about last meeting of having, Tobias was fine with having the Gage County Emergency Management Director be that contact person, so that should be in there also. That should have been a change that was put in there, I guess. Don, and I haven't had a chance to visit with Tobias yet, Don would like to have that agreement follow our fiscal year. Right now it starts I believe on August 1st instead of July 1st.
July 1.
So we will. I got to visit with Tobias yet for that. Hopefully at the next meeting. Anything else? Anybody looking at it and looking at the handouts that we need to visit with them about? If not, the one thing we have left yet is, I mean, we can, if you want to approve it today, we can go ahead and change the date and approve it and then tell them that we approved that way. So, to our fiscal year.
I'll make a motion to approve.
Second.
Approve with the fiscal year. The contract running the fiscal year.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
We have a motion by Bauman and a second by Lytle to approve it and change the dates in it to... instead of, I believe it was August 1st, but change that date to run with our current fiscal years because the city's fiscal years runs the same time. Correct?
Yeah, the contract says August 1 to July 31st, and we'd like to change it to July 1 to June 30th.
Yes.
But you don't want to go back and pay the extra amount for that month, right?
No, that won't affect our payment anything. No, our payment's already been done for all last year. And going forward this year, we pay quarterly, so our payment...
I just want to make sure. I didn't see it. I didn't get a copy.
Because this is just a draft copy. We don't have a regular copy. It's all marked with draft. Can we do... The copies that we have are just... They have...
All draft?
I thought you had the original.
Watermarked as draft. I don't have any.
You can approve it
agreement
as per the draft with the change in the fiscal deal, and as soon as you get the originals,
sign
the
it.
Chairman's authorized to sign them.
Is that what you want to do?
Yep.
You got us over a barrel. What are we going to do? Not sign it?
Yeah.
I don't think anything would change if we didn't.
Any other questions or thoughts about it? If not, vote. Now you can. Yeah, okay. 7-0 in favor. Next up, approve or disapprove a 1% increase for the lid on the restricted funds.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Bauman, second by Juergens. And what this is, we did vote on this two or three meetings ago. Mm-hmm. However, we had only five people there. This requires a 75% board approval. It doesn't matter whether you just have five there. 75% of seven comes out to more than five. So we have to have six here. Today we have seven here.
We are revoting. So
and that's why we're revoting this. So if it looks like we voted before on this, we have.
Yeah.
But we did not have the required necessary total amount of people there at that meeting. Yes, I know.
Are you saying some of us are only partial members?
No, yeah. We only had five people that voted on it. We had to have six people vote on this.
Oh, and, okay.
We needed 5.25 people.
Yeah, but yes.
I like how you get down to the nitty-gritty. You say more than five.
We needed the partial person.
But he voted.
You're right, Denny.
Not enough people.
You're exactly right. We needed a partial person here that day. We didn't have it. We only have five recorded yes votes on that. That was not sufficient, so we had to go back and re-vote on this.
Yeah, that happened once before. We were recently with a chicken farmer. We didn't have the appropriate
vote.
7-0
in favor.
I mean, Doug Kennedy'd be glad to vote any time we need him.
Well, if we'd known they could have counted as a fourth of vote, one of those two, we would have done that day. So, next up, approve or disapprove county health insurance plan for 2017-2018. And we do have...
I'll make a motion to approve so we can discuss.
Second.
Motion by Bauman and seconded by Byers. We have some people here for that. Would you like to come up and visit a little bit about it?
I told Brad that when the hand starts going like this, it's time
make
to
make it quick.
It's a rough crowd, boy.
Terry's only said one word all day, and that was second, so I like his style.
If you can believe it or not, Roger, Amber didn't run you a copy.
That's all right.
I'm not sure Roger'd be there. I said he's there every time. So.
That's all right.
Amber called me and said Myron didn't deserve a copy.
Roger didn't. He got one, yeah.
Thanks, Brad.
Thank you, sir.
We'll be brief and to the point. We don't have any signs to post or anything, so that's good. I'm Brad Swigert with the Strategic Employee Benefit Division of Northwestern Mutual. I think you all know who we are, but just to introduce ourselves again, joined by Lowell Eisenhower and Amber Verana Anderson. And just to briefly go over with you your health plan and what we did in the interest of, encapsulating it, I guess I'd say, if you look at the letter that we wrote on the left side, that's a recap of the time that's been spent with your insurance committee and Don and the rest of us in putting this together again this year. I want to mention that one thing without saying that you do have Don is very active and very knowledgeable in this arena, which is very helpful as compared to a lot of other entities that we work with like that. So they should appreciate your time that you spend on that, Don, because she almost can approve those claims herself, but they won't let her do that at this point. So basically, for 2017-18, as usual, we marketed and put out for bid to reinsurance carriers, and there's several of them listed there, your plan. And you can see it's always interesting in that market that some decline, four of them declined to even give us a bid back on your group. So the current reinsurance carrier is American National Barden, and you've been with them since 2012, and you've had good claims experience. Your average increase over the past 4 years has been about 7%, and that's right with medical trend. And the increase this year would be 11.7%, after increasing the specific deductible to $50,000 per person from $45,000. I'll spend just a second and explain that. What that means is that if you had a claimant that had a $45,000 claim in the past, you would pay that before the reinsurance would kick in. This would increase to $50,000. Over the past 11 years, you've never had, on average, a claimant, three claimants do that, on average.
Per year.
Per year. You'd have to have eight to make that be not cost effective. So that's a good idea to raise that specific deductible.
And that's not the individual employee paying that. This is the coverage amount that the county will be maximum paying for.
Exactly.
Per employee.
Per employee. And that was a significant cost savings because the reinsurance industry is looking at moving those amounts up, and it's more cost effective of them, and that's just actuarially figured in their best interest. So it's in their best interest and your best interest too. You've been very fortunate in most claim years. We're going to talk about that in just a second. So the maximum worst case scenario would be capped at $1.7 million basically for 2017 to 18. Gage County made it. We made a move last year from regional care to Cypress Benefit Administrators, and that's been a cost-effective move, and medical cost containment has been better with them than it's been with RCI. No offense to RCI, it's just the way that it worked out, and that, of course, was beneficial to you. Trends are going about 6 to 10% a year. Prescription costs are up 71% since 2010, and it's important to focus on that. Just as a side note, not to be political at all, I in my little crystal ball, I think the politicians will somehow figure out working together on getting some resolution before we're talking about your renewal next year, because there is a thing called midterm elections. And if there's not a resolution, you know, by that time, it's going to be impactful to, you know, those that are up for election. Denny's smiling and shaking his head since he's the real politician on this board. So your liability, the next paragraph covers your liability, but fortunately this year, you're expected to finish at about $933,400, which is $80,000 less than last year and 10% below what the carrier thought that you would be. Again, some of that is from cost control containment, but also it's just a good claims year. And that's what you hope to have. So we think that third party administrator. So after working with the committee and so forth, it's our recommendation to stay with American National Bargain and increase the specific deductible to $50,000. Your plan. Now, with that, that's just a recap. So we can answer any specific questions, but if you look at the next page, which we just highlighted, that's just your renewal and your renewal option as we have outlined it there. And at the very bottom line on the right side says your maximum cost exposure of all those components would not be in excess of 10.3% next year. And that was, again, brought down in part because of the going from the $45,000 to the $50,000. So while we'd like to see it minus 10%, we're glad we're not seeing it 38%, to be quite honest. So any questions?
About how much going from the 45 to the 50,000, about how much was that going to save us?
I think 3%, am I right?
3%.
That's what.
Oh, 50.
But the savings would be, yeah, it wasn't, that's what I thought. It wasn't.
Their charge, yeah.
Savings going to an additional 5,000 maximum liability per employee, yes.
Where
And to make it clear, that deductible is picked up by the county. This isn't picked up by the individual employee. When you look at it, it makes it sound like, hey, you're going to get stuck for $50,000 in deductible.
And it's not. It's not. It's the maximum per employee that the county will be responsible for before the reinsurer comes in and picks that up.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So there was that big benefit going up 5, but going up another 5, the benefit diminished really quickly.
Right.
But that was the point.
That's where the 3% was. It was 3%. And that probably wouldn't, because we looked at that too. And there's,
I will speak very positively for Cypress and how efficient they are and how caring they are. When you talk to them, they actually care about the person. And that's very, very unusual in healthcare. Excuse me, I didn't say that. It's very unusual, but Cypress is doing a wonderful job. I've been there and done that.
Did we decide anything on, maybe this isn't the time to talk about that finder piece? Is that in this?
The healthcare blue book?
Yes. Is that in that? Is that, because that was a small additional here. Is that included in this?
That's not.
It's not. Okay.
No. The committee also decided to move forward with a thing called Healthcare Blue Book. And I didn't put it in here just for the sake of time, but we'll roll it out at the employee meeting next Friday, August 11th. And what that will allow is an employee to either go on an app online or go to the internet and look to see if they're having a procedure done where the least expensive and the best quality for that procedure can be done at. It gives you a green dot, a blue dot, and a red dot, and it will show you the different prices at different places for whatever you want done. And then it will entice you to use the least expensive with the best quality provider by giving them maybe a $25 gift card or a $50 gift card. So the idea behind it is, you know, like we had put in this letter, is to focus on cost containment with claims and trying to keep claims down. And the best way to do that is to empower the employee with knowledge about where they can go to get these procedures done and what it's going to cost them. And so we're hopeful with the addition of that will continue the trend towards decreasing your claims as well.
You said they could go to a nap online. They aren't supposed to take a nap during the day.
Both.
But Amber, on this, it still remains the employee's choice, because even though you have blue dots and red dots and green dots and whatever, they may have experience with a provider that they don't want to go back to.
Yes.
And they have to make the choice themselves.
Absolutely. They can still choose to any doctor they want to go to, and, you know, with their doctor's recommendations on the procedures. It's just giving them
an incentive.
Empowerment of knowledge.
This isn't bait and switch like your former party did.
Oh, my. John, we didn't say that, by the way. So, and that is good. It just gives them an idea, but John had a good point there. It doesn't require them to use anybody they don't want to use. It's still their choice. It's just, it can be a cost savings to them in their coinsurance amounts and so forth. And we might point out just a small example of that. There's a place in Lincoln right now you can go get a full blood draw for $48. Anybody can get it. You don't need a prescription. You don't need anything. We're not soliciting that, but we're finding that people that were paying $360 or $400 for a blood draw, it's much more cost effective if they're going to need that, because that costs them money. Just doesn't just cost you money. It costs them money. That's a lot of money. So it's called personal responsibility. And hopefully healthcare is headed in that direction, that people are being a little more sensitive before they have their procedures done and so forth.
And I'd like to encourage all the employees and as many board members as can to be out to the meeting on the 11th so that get more knowledgeable, or I shouldn't say more knowledgeable. If you have questions, that's the place to get the questions answered.
Well, some of you weren't there, but this was the most interesting group because you were one of the first groups that we started sponsoring the luncheons for, and nobody said anything, and you're very effective board member Gary got up and said, okay, now listen. You guys have been calling me blankety blank blank about all this stuff. These are the guys, so speak up or don't call me. Because they can't, you don't know. You know, and it worked, by the way, didn't it? I mean, it worked. They did speak up.
Yeah. Yes.
Some of them too much, but no.
Well, no, not too much.
They didn't.
They've been a great group of employees for that meeting because they haven't been afraid to ask questions.
Proactive.
Yes, they've been proactive and they've learned. And then not only that, when they have issues, to know who to contact and all those things. So
for
them.
We've done that with many, many, many groups since, and this was the first one we started at. Still
which
don't get
the best
as good
meeting, 10:30 or 12:30?
I'm sorry?
Which one should we come to, 10:30 or 12:30?
10:30.
Oh, okay.
You're going to get lunch either
one. I still like Mary's potato salad, but we don't have that anymore.
So. Okay, we have a motion to approve, correct? Mm-hmm. Motion to approve and a second. Any more questions? Vote. 7-0 in favor. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Come down. See you on the 11th. Discussion on the fiscal year 17-18 budget and approve or disapprove setting date and time for public hearing on the budget.
Public hearing, I would recommend probably August 30th because then we'll have to approve the budget on the 13th unless the governor wants to do something different. But
well,
we're still waiting for final valuation numbers from the assessor's office. We've got some lid limit issues with regard to valuation. So.
My concern is, and I had a conversation yesterday with Myron, we were talking about dates, is we don't have the survey stuff back yet, and so it depends on our time frame there because I have to publish it 5 days prior to our public hearing. If it can all fall together, that's great.
The budget's a best laid plan based on previous experience, so that's basically how we'll put it together. And if we're off, we're off, and we'll have to make cuts other places. People will just, if we're going to have to pay employees, then we'll just quit buying stuff. But I mean, there's a hot deadline on the 20th. It's got to be up to Lincoln, so we have to take action on September 13th. So we're kind of.
So I think too, we'll set those dates, and if something changes that something can't be done, then we may have to have another meeting before the 20th.
So what, as far as the officials completing our budgets, what?
I would get them in ASAP.
Well,
so you can,
we're
told to wait on them before until comparable came.
But I guess what we're saying is we may not have those comps back in time.
That's why I was asking. Because the officials were all like, what are we doing?
We won't have the comps back probably to do anything with a collective bargaining agreement as well. And it's not that we don't. It's just out of our hands.
He's given me information. The last time I got an email from him, he was hoping for around the 10th, somewhere around there, to get the information to us. So, it give or take, I know his wife is extremely ill. She's on hospice right now. And so, there could be,
public hearing on the 30th? We got to take action on the 13th unless we have a special meeting some other time. But I don't like to do those.
Well, but we'll know more at our next meeting here on the 16th that if we have to change something. But, no, I agree with you. I don't like doing them either. I think let's set those dates.
But we have to – will that give us enough time to give notice? Because we have to post for the public hearing on the budget. We've got to – the 16th, if we make that action then, or do we need to do it now?
Let's set it now. Okay. And then if
– Let's set for 10 o'clock on the 30th, and then if it changes, we can change it next week. If we think we need to change it, we'll
see. Was that a motion, Matt?
Yes.
Second.
The motion is to have our fiscal year budget 17-18 public hearing August 30th at 10 o'clock. Motion by Bauman and seconded by Lytle. Vote. 7-0 in favor.
And that's just the setting of the date. So, get your budgets in and put in the numbers and we'll just...
I have everybody's budget. We're just lacking the wages because we're waiting for a study. So if we don't get it when anticipated, then we'll just have to go back and I'll send something back to everybody to calculate. And we'll move forward where we had before, I guess. About the only thing we can do.
It'd be nice to get that wage study back because I think we're probably off a little bit. Yeah.
Not over there.
Over here.
Any more discussion about the budget or anything, Matt?
I don't have anything additional. You just get Terry to quit spending money on track levels. Yeah.
He did. You didn't hear the part about the savings he was getting us
there.
Oh,
yeah. What it is?
Yeah.
Is that the bait and switch thing you were talking about?
Yeah. That was the, I didn't expect to save that much today.
Yeah. He always cringe when you hear that. Didn't expect you were going to get this much of a save. Well, no. What did we spend? Yeah.
Didn't know we were going to save that much again today.
Next up on the agenda, discuss and approve or disapprove office hours for the Eclipse on August 21st, 2017. As you know, we've had a lot of interest in should we close the courthouse down, not each individual department or whatever. I've been visiting with the different people. Some of them I've talked to and some of what we had to talk about at the committee meeting was maybe leave that up to the individual elected offices or individual offices, because I know the highway department, we had some discussion. They may need to be out there helping with some road issues or whatever. So if they're not going to take off, that's up to that department. But what we need to do, I know I talked to a couple of ladies sitting back there too. Leave it up to the individual offices. They want to shut down for the day. There won't be any pay. It's going to come out of their time bank or whatever, or comp or whatever. Won't be any pay, but we'll leave that up to the individual offices. But we need to. My goal today was to make a decision on this and let everybody know so that the public can know too ahead of time that part of the courthouse may be closed down, part of it may not. I know I talked to the county court. They've blocked off that day already. Now, I don't know about district court. County court's blocked it off, and they aren't going to have anything. But I see you, Diane, here and stuff. So if you want to talk about that a little bit.
District court does have trials that day.
Yes.
So, and well, the judge is on the bench. The clerk needs to be there. That's
clerk
the statute.
Needs to be there.
Yep.
Okay.
And my girls don't want to lose vacation time. They don't want to be shut down and be told to take your vacation because they are fairly new employees and don't have like 3 weeks. So they don't have a whole bunch of that. So if you shut down and we have a choice to be there, then my girls will be there.
Well, if we have court, though, talking to Gus or somebody, somebody will keep the courthouse open and then we'll have court there regardless of whether we shut it down or not. But
it is
maybe Dave can talk.
It is such a case it could settle at the last minute and we not have. It's not like we have a lot of hearing. It's a specific trial.
Okay. Dave, would you like to talk a little bit? Thank you.
My main concern, and it's so hard to predict how this is going to pan out, but if we do have the building open, we have public restrooms open all day long. And I guess it's too early to know, you know, how many people. I seriously wonder even if the city's water pressure would be low that day. So, you know, we might have some issues with public restrooms that day. I know they say the University of Nebraska's you know, when there's a football game, the city actually drops in water pressure quite a bit that day. So I just don't know for sure what's going to happen. I did talk to Lisa Wiegand on the way out. I heard that the city is opening any city parks for tent camping. I did not know if that included Charles Park, if there's actually going to be tent park, you know, tent camping here. So that those are the concerns that I have, is that if there's a lot of people in town, they're all going to be needing public restrooms. And I'd be glad to have people come to the courthouse, but if it's a steady stream of people all day long, I could see some issues with that. And parking,
there are concerns, and it depends on the number of people. And
right.
Yes, we plan, I guess. Like I said, my goal today is to come up with how we want to handle this. I know I'm a little bit opposite Dave, but my opinion is we leave that up to each individual office, and they get to decide how they want to handle it. If that office wants to shut down for the day or half a day or however, and stuff. But I know that keeps the court. The issue there is that does keep the courthouse open, though, because the courthouse will be open.
I would like to ask Dan. I did talk to Donna and Judge Schreiner. He said if with the court going on, that they could elect some people in.
But the statute says the court.
Yeah, but the employees need to be there.
Right, okay.
Yep.
That was another
option. We got another meeting on the 16th to tighten it up, too.
And I guess that's probably the other statement we should make is that, if necessary, the courthouse doors will be locked.
If you decide to do that, yeah.
Yeah, but there could still be people working, but, you know, in the court coming in and out, but not be open to the public.
That we need to decide, too. We need to make that a decision today here if you want to.
Guys, the driver's exams are here on Monday, too. I thought about that.
Driver's exams, so they will be here, too, yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah. If we close the courthouse for a winter storm or something, then they close too. So
it's 2 minutes and 37 seconds. Yeah. Close it for a half hour or whatever. I don't want to be callous, but I mean,
that's basically what I'm leaning towards, 11:30 to 1:30. And if somebody wants to, you know, because they have family or something, I'll look at an individual deal.
But it's once in a lifetime. Close her up for a little bit.
I've had a lot of those moments in my lifetime. Or so I'm told.
I'll entertain a motion or something because we need to, like I said, we need to approve the office hours for that day. Or not approve the office hours, approve the courthouse hours for that day. So, you know, if we want to leave it up to the individual department, if they want to shut their department down, or if you want to close the courthouse down for certain period of time or whatever.
Do you want to close it down or leave it open? What do you want to do?
I think it should be uniform.
Okay, I don't know.
What?
Myron.
I'm the black sheep.
So. Oh, do you want it to be closed from noon to 1:30 or noon to 1? I mean, well, this thing takes place at 1.
Gary's got a comment here.
Personally, I think we should look at closing from 11:30 to 1:30 is what I think we should do.
Is that a motion?
I'm throwing it
out
there as
discussion.
Let's just
make a decision because it's only going to be two minutes and 40 seconds, roughly.
Yeah, but it's several hours
but
that it's actually.
Well,
can't they take the day off? Take the day off.
They can take the day off. They can take vacation or comp time or whatever. Terry,
I think it should be left to department heads.
Yeah.
They want to close it.
My opinion is we leave the courthouse open
to run the office. So.
Everybody needs to check with that individual department. I talked to some of them, and they don't expect hardly any traffic in here that day, as far as what you'd call county business. Very limited traffic. But at the same time, most of them are all elected officials. Let them make the decision.
Yep. So. Does Gus need to put up no parking signs?
No.
Which side of the road?
Right side. Now, I'll entertain that as a we need a motion for something.
I'll make a motion to leave it up to department heads of the county to decide what they're going to do with their office that day.
And that the courthouse will stay open.
Of course, the courthouse will be open.
Second. Quick question.
Business.
We have a motion by Jergen and second by Bauman. Now go ahead.
What about the highway department then?
It's up to their office, too.
It's up to him.
It's up to Galen and his staff.
And let me add to that you know, if you're not at work, you don't get paid.
Sure. Yes.
Yep. All right.
Your time off is not going to
be
covered by the county unless you designate vacation or something else. I mean, you have to designate that.
But. I got one thing, though. Okay, we're all talking about individual offices, but that does leave the custodians. Somebody has to be here, and I know if they've got family coming in, you've got Dave and you've got Rosie.
But it's already been stated that one office is going to remain open already, so.
Business as usual.
Yep.
Dave, you got another comment? Come on.
I'd like to add one thing. I honestly think that if the courthouse is open, there would not be business coming to the courthouse that day. I really don't think there will be. I think there's going to be the parking lot will probably always be full all day long just with spectators and things like that. So, but there again, it's hard for me to say what's going to happen. I don't know. But I don't think there would be county business going on that day.
I agree with you very little. But Lori.
I agree with Dave.
Lori.
Mike.
Mike's not here. Lori is.
Scooter's little thing can pick you up back there, but ours can't. So no.
No, I was just discussing with Dave about the two deputies that we have. Would they have to stay here too, or could Gus use them?
Well, if you're going to have court and they're going to be in that court up there, there's probably a good probability one or both of them will be there. There will need to be somebody there.
If court is going, yep, my staff will be there. If it's not, and the courthouse is closed for a period of time, then they're going to be out helping us on the road. If it's going to remain open, then they're going to have to stay here and just sit there in the dark, I suppose. But well, as long as we're open for business, they've got to be here.
Our lights be on.
They'll be on. Well, anyway, they're kind of sitting down.
So that's where I will stand on that. So,
Myron?
Derek?
The reason I feel it should stay open, there's enough people in Gage County feel the county has enough perks already. And I think it would be a bad precedent to start, you know, give them off for the eclipse. If you want to take it off, you take it off on your time, but otherwise should be open.
And I'll just say this, that this allows individual offices, one or any of the offices, they might be shut down for the day. That's why people need to, if they plan on coming to the courthouse, they need to check ahead of time, call that office or something. And see if that is even going to be open or whatever, because there will be limited amount of people here in this here.
Terry, are you saying if we give them off for this eclipse, they're going to want every eclipse off?
That's correct.
Well, I
maybe when it's cloudy next time they'll want off. I don't know.
the only thing I wonder is I like the idea of leaving it up to every office. The only thing I wonder is if people come in, they don't know what's open, what's not open. That's why we're putting it out now already,
so that hopefully people are here and they'll find out about it. And hopefully people are out there watching the eclipse too, that they're not going to be coming in here.
The motion is that the courthouse stays open.
Yep.
When we say the courthouse stays open, that means the departments are open also.
No.
That's up to
the motion was the courthouse stays open, but it's up to the individual departments whether or not they want to remain open that day or not.
I like
how long or any of that.
Work, though.
Okay, well, I guess that's something in the statute that they can make the decision. Anytime they want to lock up, they can. You hear that? So
you need a motion.
You get tired of hearing from people, just lock the door.
Can I make one more comment?
Yep.
Yes.
I'd like to know how many offices do want to stay open, because if it would be just one or two, why should we open the building for the use of public restrooms?
Well, Dave, we
tightened it up. By
chance of stepping on your toes here. It is a public building,
and
it is a public facility. So if it's, I don't have a problem with it being open if people need facilities.
I don't either. I know that.
I don't either, but I am worried about
issues
that might happen.
The couple issues, whether or not we have deputies or the third floor or those people here watching the monitors, and the other one is, I agree with you, with the facilities. However, I'm like Gary. This is a public facility.
It is.
And stuff. So one of the biggest days we're going to have, the governor said, in the state of Nebraska as far as people coming in, and then we're going to shut down. I don't think that's right either. So,
all right. Sounds good.
Any other comments? John, you were going to ask a question? Nope. Any more comments? The motion is to leave the courthouse open and leave it up to the individual offices or departments whether or not they decide to close for that day or part of a day or hour or whatever. That's up to them to decide. Okay. Hopefully they'll put something on the doors, or hopefully somehow we get the word out a little bit or whatever. So, just so people understand, check before you come to the courthouse. Anything else?
Nope.
Vote. 7-0 in favor of the motion. The only other thing we have on the agenda is a closed session for personnel. We do need to talk a little bit about some personnel. Emergency management position, we do have some of those to talk about. So I will entertain a motion at 11:03 on the clock to go into closed session.
Yes, so Chairman, move into closed session for personnel.
Motion by Thiemann. You seconded it?
I think I got it. Yeah.
Second by Juergens. Vote. 7-0.
You only have two people can handle your office?
I had to pull it.
No, we're just... Okay, are we on?
Yep. Quite often.
Entertain a motion at 11:56 to come out of closed session.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Team and seconded by Lytle. Vote. 5-0 in favor.
Well.
Four in favor with Thiemann against. Hill, Dorn, Lytle, and Byers in favor, and now Thiemann's also in favor.
There must be a short
5-0.
5-0 in favor, with Bauman and Juergens gone.
You want a motion to close session?
Okay, so Bauman and Juergens both left during the meet, or after the, we went out of close, or into close
when
session.
When we after we went into close session. Yeah.
Went in.
Yeah, they didn't.
Bauman left, right? Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, yeah. We're meeting adjourned.